Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Some ancient Ukrainian mountain melodies and instruments in this Ukraine's candidate song for next week's Eurovision Song Contest. This is what Joseph Lindsley was telling us about yesterday. A good afternoon to you there in Lviv, Joseph.
Bob, good afternoon. It was nice to hear that music as we started here today. It's a beautiful blue sky day, and it's a sort of day, a spring day, when before the war, you know, someone like me, we would go to the mountains on such a day. And that band, Kalush, they come from a village in the Carpathian foothills toward, you know, sort of in southern Ukraine. And you can still hear that music and that culture has been kept alive. It's a tribe of people called the Hutsul people. And many people say that that's sort of the genesis of much of Ukrainian culture. They survived not only Imperial Moscow, but also the ravages of the Soviet times, and they kept their culture alive in the mountains. And so that song, you can see, they hear the ancient traditions and the ancient instruments. The it's like a flute that you can hear in that song. And so that is part of what Ukrainians are defending, is the ability, and this is what they had to fight for during the 70 years of Soviet occupation as well, the ability to keep their culture and their freedom alive.
And it's so impressive to hear about the culture and the people. I want to ask you about the story in the news this morning. Channel guides on Russian smart TVs yesterday were altered to display this message. The message was, there is blood on your hands from thousands of Ukrainians and hundreds of their murdered children. TV and government are lying, saying no to war. That's pretty remarkable that got through. Do you know anything about that, Joseph?
Not specifically, no. And I would assume that Ukraine's, you know, massive volunteer IT army played some role in that. But maybe even there are some dissidents in Russia who helped make that possible. Yesterday was an important day to get that message across, because it was May 9th. It's, you know, one of the biggest Soviet era military holiday, celebrating the victory over the Nazis in World War II. And, Putin had the big parade yesterday. So it's a very, you know, it's a day of propaganda. So very valuable to have that message. Interestingly, yesterday, it was not raining in Moscow. It was a fairly, you know, clear weather day. But the officials said that usually there's a huge flyover show on May 9th. And they didn't have one yesterday. And they said it was due to the weather. Also, the parade was about, by some accounts, was a third smaller than it normally is. And this can maybe mean one of two things. It could mean Russia, you know, has so much of their equipment here in Ukraine, a lot of it is abandoned tanks and fields, or that they are preparing for something and we're keeping their air force and a lot of their tanks in reserve. So we don't know the answer to that, but it is reassuring that at least some people in Russia could perhaps see through the propaganda.
Yes, and the reports that are on network newscasts here from reporters in Russia are, well, I don't want to say they're not censored, but those reporters in Moscow could be imprisoned if they say the wrong thing, right?
Imprisoned or and I don't know what is worse, but imprisoned or, you know, death in a mysterious car accident or, you know, or really by any means. It's quite a risky and dangerous profession to be a reporter in Russia at all. Absolutely. And we're starting to see there's some articles in American press the past few days about the great American reporter. He was a Pulitzer Prize winner from the 30s, and he was based in Moscow. And I'm forgetting his name at the moment. He was praised as an excellent reporter. But we see that it's the same story as it was in the 1930s, that if you're in Moscow, it's very difficult to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm. And 100 civilians are still trapped in that steel plant in Mariupol. Is that the latest you have, Joseph?
The latest, we think that almost all of the civilians, if not all, were evacuated, but there still are warriors there in the plant. There was shelling all through the night, and in fact, the deputy commander of the regiment who's not in the plant, the Azov regiment, says that they have no contact with those who are in the plant. And so while the rest of Ukraine, it was fairly quiet yesterday, you know, and even today we're anticipating something, but nothing has happened yet at a major level. Odessa was hit. And the Russians continue to pound. They're stepping up their efforts to remove these last remaining warriors from the steel plant in Mariupol. But other than that, it's a strange calm throughout the country at the moment, and with a little bit of unease. And Bob, I was going for a run right before this, and it was the first time that I was told I could not go into the usual park that I run into. And so there is an element of apprehension throughout the country.
That's troubling to hear. Well, this will make you feel good, Joseph. Let me share this text with you from one of our listeners. A car just passed me on the Edens Expressway flying a Ukrainian flag. Please tell Joseph.
Oh, that's fantastic to hear. And it's, I think, it brings a smile to my face. And I think of also in that song you played at the beginning by the band Kalush, one of the lines translated, he's singing about his mother, and he says, I'll always find my way home, even if all roads are destroyed. And it obviously resonates now, but to think of seeing the Ukrainian flag on the Dan Ryan, you know, that tells you that this is not extinguished.
Yeah, it was the Edens, but I'm sure we're going to get reports from the South Side as well. And I know that anything that we share with you that lets you know how much support there still is here in the Midwest, you appreciate, don't you?
Absolutely. And we just received a shipment of medicine from London. It was driven down from the UK. And we were constantly receiving, ordering and supplying goods from all over the world. So the goodwill and the support is much appreciated. In fact, the housekeeper in my building, she needed some boots for her nephew. We were able to get them. And then just this morning, she presented me with some homemade cake and a bottle of the homemade samohanka. But which says that the appreciation for even the smallest thing is felt by Ukrainians so much. And I think that gives a lot of energy in these dark days to keep going.
We're thinking about you, Joseph, and we'll talk again in the morning. And hopefully you'll have a safe, uneventful evening there in Lviv. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.